Hello and welcome to Words of Wisdom, a podcast dedicated to reflecting on the wisdom of the Book of Proverbs. Your host is Dr. Jerry Weirwool, who will share life-giving truth from Proverbs that will help us become wise and discerning. Wisdom is a journey, and we hope you will join us for this exciting adventure.
Proverbs 13:4 says, "The appetite of the lazy person craves, yet gets nothing, but the desire of the diligent person will be fully satisfied." This proverb has a clear antithetic structure indicated by the conjunction but, which sets the lazy person in opposition to the diligent person. Each half of the proverb addresses the outcome and experience that accompanies the respective character and behavior, either lazy or diligent. So let's look at each half individually. First, the lazy person is said to have an appetite, which craves, but it is never filled. And not only is it never filled, but the lazy person actually gets nothing. The Hebrew word translated appetite has a wide range of meaning, but mostly it refers to breath or life, and is commonly translated as soul, referring to a living being. But it can also mean a person's desire or appetite as well. Given that the terms in the proverb relate to eating, it's probably best to see the meaning of the word as being appetite rather than soul. But the soul of the lazy person could also work in the context as well. The lazy person is being described as being hungry and wanting food but not getting any. This is a similar idea to what is presented in Proverbs chapter 19, verse 24, which says, "The lazy person buries his hand in the dish. Indeed, he will not bring it back to his mouth." And a similar saying is also written in Proverbs chapter 26, verse 15. While the proverb's imagery refers to hunger and consuming food, it is likely that the proverb is intended to be understood figuratively as well, where the lazy person's appetite represents any desire that they have in their life. The lazy person has cravings and yearns for things, including food, but they don't get any because they are lazy. In contrast, it is the diligent person who will be fully satisfied in their desire. The Hebrew word translated fully satisfied literally means to be made fat. The imagery here is that of being able to feast upon a sumptuous meal to the point where the diligent person has stuffed themselves full and has become plump and is not able to take another bite. However, like the first half of the proverb, this portion is also likely to be understood figuratively. In this sense, the proverb would be referring to how the diligent person will be able to fully accomplish and fully enjoy their desires. Now, diligence is a term that doesn't seem to get used as often in day-to-day discourse as one might think. Diligence refers to a consistent, earnest, and careful effort to accomplish something. It involves steady and persistent application of effort and attention to detail in order to achieve a goal or complete a task effectively. Diligence can be characterized by four qualities. First, persistence, that is, continuously working toward a goal despite difficulties or setbacks. Two, attention to detail, that is, being thorough and meticulous in performing tasks. Third, hard work. Diligence means putting in significant time and effort to achieve results. And lastly, commitment, maintaining dedication to a task or goal over the long term. If you do something right, and then you don't see anything happen, or you don't get the results you think you should, and then you do something right again, and you still don't see anything happen, or you don't get the results you think you should. When you continue to still do the right thing, even though you don't see what you should see, that is being diligent, because we might be tempted to not keep doing what is right since nothing seems to change even though we are doing it. Diligence is not about doing something and then seeing the effect right away. Diligence is about keeping on doing the right thing despite not seeing anything changing. Diligence is about doing what is right even if it doesn't seem to make a difference at that moment, because there is a difference being made. You just might not be looking in the right place. We may not see the effect it is having at that moment. A diligent person works towards something, a goal. Diligence always has its eye on the purpose. Diligence seeks to create movement towards something. Do you have a goal in your life that you want to see accomplished? Diligence is not just a mere activity. It's a habit. It takes discipline to be diligent. Diligence has to be built into our lives. Very few people are successful because they are lucky. Success is achieved slowly, not overnight. Almost all of the most successful people in their field or industry around the world will tell you that it was a long journey to get to where they are today that required significant effort, sacrifice, and making good choices. And that is why diligence is about being consistent and dedicated in one's endeavors, ensuring that work is done with care, precision, and an exerted effort. This reminds me of a book that I read to my daughter entitled The Carrot Seed by Ruth Krauss. It goes like this. A little boy planted a carrot seed. His mother said, "I'm afraid it won't come up." His father said, "I'm afraid it won't come up." His big brother said, "It won't come up." Every day, the little boy pulled up the weeds around the seed and sprinkled the ground with water. But nothing came up, and nothing came up. Everyone kept saying it wouldn't come up, but he still pulled up the weeds around it every day and sprinkled the ground with water. And then, one day, a carrot came up, just as the little boy had known it would. In this story, the little boy plants a carrot seed and then begins to carefully tend to it, weeding and watering it while he waits to see it grow. He is bombarded by a series of naysayers, his own family, who are negative and unsupportive, insisting over and over again that it won't come up. Nevertheless, even in the face of his family's disbelief and denial that anything would happen, the little boy is steadfast in his conviction that he is doing what is right for the carrot to grow. And then, in a dazzling transition of the plot, the carrot grows and the little boy harvests probably the largest carrot anyone has ever seen. And he carries it off in a wheelbarrow with a grin on his face. It was the little boy's diligence in carefully and faithfully tending to the carrot seed that he planted that ended up producing incredible results. Not only was the little boy's desire satisfied, it was beyond satisfied. It is sad that so many people don't see diligence as a virtue to strive toward. Our society has drifted farther and farther into a mindset of working less but expecting more. Many people just look for shortcuts or loopholes to get out of doing the necessary work required for success. By and far, our society is inclined to think that something can be gotten for nothing. People are looking for handouts or charity when they should have a mind to work. We've lost the understanding that you get what you work for in life. Do you know what comes from doing nothing? Well, nothing. That is why it is the diligent person's desire that will be satisfied at the end of the day, not the lazy person, or the person who feels entitled, or the one who thinks they're just around the corner from hitting their next streak of luck. It is diligence that builds true character and results in lasting prosperity. In order to illustrate this proverb, I want to share the story of Jonas Salk. Salk was born in 1914 and grew up in Manhattan, New York. He decided to go into pre-med after high school, and then later attended New York University of Medicine to acquire his MD. He was a distinguished student academically, and upon graduation, he did a 2-year clinical internship at Mount Sinai Hospital in New York City. Salk took a post at the University of Michigan's New School of Public Health under the supervision of Dr. Thomas Francis. While in that fellowship, Salk showed that laboratory mice vaccinated with an influenza virus that had been killed by ultraviolet light exposure produced corresponding antibodies in the mice. Thus, he established the principle of using a killed virus approach that could potentially work for vaccine development, which he would later base all of his research on. Salk began research on influenza vaccines due to the 1943 epidemic of type A influenza. Both Salk and his colleague Thomas Francis were able to demonstrate that Salk's killed virus vaccine approach worked against the wild influenza virus, and it did so remarkably well. However, the general scientific community of microbiologists were highly skeptical and predicted that any effects from a killed virus approach would be short-lived and not of any real value for establishing immune resistance. Well, in 1947, Salk set off on his own and took a post as director of the Virus Research Laboratory at the University of Pittsburgh Medical School. He took the job without seeing the laboratory or facilities. When he arrived, he found his lab located in a basement space of 40 feet by 40 feet, and the lab was severely dilapidated. Stepping back in time for a minute, a year after his nomination as Democratic vice presidential candidate, Franklin D. Roosevelt contracted polio while he was vacationing at his summer home on Campobello Island in 1921. The disease attacked his legs, leaving the 39-year-old with permanent paralysis, causing him to be unable to walk again. In 1938, 5 years after entering the White House, Roosevelt and his former Wall Street partner, Basil O'Connor, created the National Foundation for Infantile Paralysis, later named the March of Dimes Foundation. Roosevelt and O'Connor were so successful in raising money for polio research that by the late 1940s, the foundation was raising more than $20 million per year. Salk believed that his killed virus vaccine approach might hold promise for preventing polio. For years, Salk tested various vaccine prototypes that he developed on countless animal subjects. The advantage of Salk's killed virus approach was that benign components of the virus were injected into the bloodstream to trick the immune system into manufacturing protective antibodies against the virus without needing to introduce a weakened but yet living form of the virus into healthy patients. While he was pursuing his research on polio, Salk was ridiculed by many in the scientific community for his unconventional approach to immunology. Many researchers, such as Polish virologist Albert Sabin, who was developing an oral live virus polio vaccine, he called Salk's approach dangerous. Sabin even mocked and chided Salk as being a mere kitchen chemist. But Salk was not intimidated. After successfully inoculating thousands of monkeys, in 1952, Salk took the risky next step and began clinical trials on humans. Salk was so confident that he had developed an effective vaccine to polio that he decided to administer the vaccine to two children in Pittsburgh area institutions, along with himself, his wife, and his three sons. The findings of this small initial trial showed that recipients of Salk's vaccine produced corresponding antibodies to the virus. These impressive results provided the basis for Salk to perform larger scale trials. Salk officially announced the success of his initial human testing on national radio on March 26, 1953. That following year, in 1954, by the end of June, an unprecedented 1.8 million people, including hundreds of thousands of school children, participated in the study by becoming, quote, polio pioneers, end quote. Salk's clinical trial became the largest clinical trial in American history. And for the first time in clinical trial research, Salk and his associates used a double-blind method, where neither the patient nor the person administering the injection is aware of whether the substance is the vaccine or a placebo. After all the data was collected and analyzed, in a press conference at the University of Michigan, Dr. Thomas Francis and colleagues announced the results of Salk's poliovirus vaccine trial. The vaccine, they said, was 80 to 90% effective in preventing the contraction of the poliovirus. These results were so impressive that the U.S. government licensed Salk's vaccine later that same day. The press conference and U.S. licensure were the impetus for widespread distribution and use of the vaccine. On April 12, 1955, when Salk's vaccine was declared safe and effective and potent, legendary CBS newsman Edward R. Morrow interviewed Dr. Salk and asked him who owned the patent. Without hesitating, Salk responded, "Well, the people, I would say," as Salk was thinking of the millions of dollars of public donations that had gone into the research of the vaccine from the March of Dimes Foundation. He further commented that there is no patent. How could you patent the sun? Lawyers for the March of Dimes Foundation had investigated the possibility of patenting the vaccine, but decided to not continue in that pursuit since Salk was against it. The effect of Salk's work today is that it has had a far-reaching impact on world health. Wild poliovirus cases have decreased by over 99% since 1988, at which time there were an estimated 350,000 cases in more than 125 endemic countries, down now to only 6 reported cases in 2021. Of the 3 strains of wild poliovirus, type 1, type 2, and type 3, wild poliovirus type 2 was eradicated in 1999, and wild poliovirus type 3 was eradicated in 2020. As of 2022, the endemic wild poliovirus type 1 is reported to be active in only 2 remaining countries in the world, Pakistan and Afghanistan. This unbelievable progress in preventing contraction of a devastating disease was only possible on account of the tireless dedication of Dr. Jonas Salk. He and his team conducted extensive research, working long hours in the lab to understand how to combat the poliovirus, and had the commitment to not just discover a vaccine, but also to ensure that it was safe and effective. But what was really admirable was Salk's diligence in his research for years, even when it didn't seem like any progress was being made. Not only that, but developing the polio vaccine was fraught with difficulties, as Salk faced numerous technical challenges and skepticism from his fellow scientific colleagues. Nevertheless, despite these obstacles, Salk persevered, adapting his methods and approaches based on new findings and feedback, and he pushed on in his research regardless of what it looked like potentially defeat. The thing about diligence is that it doesn't have to be applied to some big goal or grandiose desire. And in fact, a more impressive form of diligence is when it is applied to small matters of life. Jesus said, "Whoever is faithful in very little is faithful also in much, and whoever is unrighteous in very little is unrighteous also in very much." Luke chapter 16, verse 10. And so we should take the sage's advice in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10, where he says, "Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might, because there is no work or planning or knowledge or wisdom in Sheol, where you are going. We have but one life to live, and we will receive in turn from the effort that we put in. Therefore, if we will cultivate the habit of being diligent in our lives, then whether it is something small like cleaning up and washing dirty dishes after a meal, or being sure to change the oil in the automobile, to something more significant like keeping track of financial savings and spending, or keeping commitments and showing up on time, we will be better able to accomplish what we desire, and we will be fully satisfied instead of ending up empty-handed like the lazy person who has nothing to show for themselves." This is the wisdom of the proverb.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Words of Wisdom podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, we would be so appreciative if you would share this podcast with your friends. And if you have been blessed by this work, please consider supporting the podcast by clicking on the donation link in the description.